Hey, this is Josh Keaton, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio. This is episode 301. I'm, of course, TF Joe and Mike. And this time around, it is a Emerald City Comic-Con 2022 recap. I, of course, have Christopher Morton with me here. Hello, sir. How are you?
How's up, big guy?
Oh, boy, you sound older than I do. Well, wait, you are older than I am. Yikes.
He just had a birthday.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
So he's super birthday. Old.
All them gray hairs really do show, don't they? Oh, boy. And joining us for the first time in this ECCCCCCCC recap stuff is Matthew Crowder. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, I misspelled your name when looking for you on Skype. I was thinking of the other Crowder.
No, this is more like sauerkraut than yeah. I'm really fat and I crowd people.
I'm really fat.
I do both, but like
you know.
Yeah.
Sad panda.
Womp womp.
No, don't you dare.
Oh yeah, okay.
Don't you dare.
Matt's kind of anthropomorphic Lucas. Persona is a panda.
Oh,
so
okay. Well, there you
I fall over a lot and I like to eat.
Yep.
That's all of us. I mean, I could be a giant robot that only weighs 2,000 tons and I'd still...
It was either that or a manatee. I went with because it's Portland and who doesn't like a big gay bear?
Oh, boy.
All right. You might have some editing to do here. I'm just letting you know.
No, that's all.
Oh, no, that's a keeper.
Yeah, that's
a keeper.
If he wants to say that about himself, and if that is his identity, I am not cutting that out. I mean, you know.
What will my family think?
Do they know?
They probably suspect.
I might need to cut that out, but... Oh, God. Well, as you can tell, folks, the explicit tag that I've had on this podcast since its inception in 2009
I'll make
doesn't
it
just
it.
Mean, you know, shit, fuck, damn, whatever. It's also innuendos and don'ts, because there is plenty of innuendos in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yes.
So it's a good thing we're not sponsored by Emerald City Comic Con, because they would have really loved the last X number of minutes of this show that we just had there. But last year, we did it in person.
Yes.
Yes. Chris said at the time I was living in Vancouver, Washington, Chris came over and we did a in-person. No, we didn't do it in person. What the hell am I thinking? We didn't do it in person. It's always been room. We were going to.
We talked about it in person.
Yeah, and then we were just like, screw it. I mean, granted, you know, last year the gas prices weren't where they are now, but I don't know. Anyway, Emerald City Comic Con, Seattle, Washington, 2022. I assume you both attended all 4 days?
Three.
Okay.
We both work Thursday. Those are busy days for us. Okay. And the only thing that happens on Thursdays are people that go and buy exclusives. They don't actually buy anything of like art or anything like that. So we didn't bother rushing up there.
Okay. There you go. So Friday to Sunday. Oh boy. How do we want to approach this? What were your all's plans for each day? So Friday, what were the plans?
For me, Friday was to get stuff off my plate. Things that I wanted to do, like I wanted to go get some books signed by Chris Claremont and sent off to CGC to get graded. Sometimes lines like when we went to SummerCon, it took me 4 hours to get signed stuff by Kevin Eastman. So I wanted to do this on Friday and not Saturday, just in case the lines were really crazy. And the lines actually were managed very well. They didn't stick out and block traffic or anything like that. He was very lovely to get like maybe 5 minutes to talk to him, and then, you know, shuffle on. He had a money manager at his booth. So like he wasn't fumbling around with stuff. He was interacting and signing. That's what he was doing. And then you kind of shuffle over to his manager and hand him money and do all that. And then walk around. Less people are there on Fridays, so try to get the lay of the land, see what the hot item is, and see if you can pick one up or not.
What was the hot item that you wanted this year?
For me, it was the signings, but t-shirts for people our size, they go pretty quick at
if cons. They have them at all.
Go figure. There's a lot of 3X, 4X, 5X con goers. I would not have ever thought that, you know. But you kind of got to jump on the t-shirts before all they have is an extra small or a schmedium. And, yeah, so I got some t-shirts. I think Chris got some t-shirts, too.
Yep, I sure did. And then we did splurge on – we checked out – there's a lot of – every con is being bigger with dice. Dice has been a big thing in cons the last several years. So they actually took the bridge that to the main buildings that the con is in, had big dice booths in there. The sky bridge. And we went through some of the dice there, and we found this style of dice that's hollow and metal. So when you have two dice in your hand, they kind of have this ringing noise. It really cool.
Kind of like Shang-Ching balls.
Yeah. So we ended up buying several of those because they were just amazing. We wanted a set for our D&D campaign, and, of course, they make great Christmas gifts. At the point, the one thing about this con in 2020 was really good is it was the 1st of December, and it worked so well because that became a gift-buying con, and it just people bought a lot of things for Christmas. With this one falling now in August, one, it's so much hotter. I really like December when it's rainy and cold and everybody wants to stay indoors and it's nice. This hot con is terrible. Next year they're going to push it till back to the original, which is March, mid-March. So that's their tentative goal. And the idea of the layout for these cons, now this is the last year this con is in this section of the Washington Convention Center. It's technically in four different buildings around that area. Washington State, the shared... Well, no, because the signings are in another part of the building. So they had another section signing. So that's in the Sheridan – or no, the Worcester Sheridan, the West Eastman Hotel, which is just outside. The Sheridan Hotel has four floors. The Washington Con main building has four. And they had one other building that's across the street, and that had four floors. And then miscellaneous rooms everywhere. So the downside of this con is it's really spread out over multiple blocks.
Right. You get your stairs in, that's for sure.
Now, next year, right next door to all this, is the new convention center. It's six stories with a rooftop park on it. And it's a lot of convention space. And the plan is to have this really launch the new convention center off – just like two blocks away. So we're going to see how that plays out. That's kind of the reason why we are going to return to this. So we're going to have a lot more into why we would not consider coming back to where it originally is. But
you always make money at ECC, but sometimes you don't make as much as you want.
Yeah, that's
depending on booth space and what floor you're on and if they're playing house music from the Pops vending booth and driving everyone insane.
Now, Pops, which I know, Mike, you're a big fan of the Funko Pops.
Oh, I should just – I need to hang up right now then.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry, I meant to mention that. They were not there. They pulled out about 3 weeks before the con
I think
started.
It was less than that.
Yeah, less than maybe a couple of weeks. Yeah, they pulled their booth out of there. because they had a Funko Con they decided to put all their resources into on Saturday only, which ended up being just a cluster of lines and frustration.
So FunCon last time, and I didn't go to it, whatever, but the FunCon event last time had so many exclusives, and FunCon 2, I think, had 8 total exclusives. Now, one of the reasons why I'm a Funko fan is because the pops specifically remind me of the Mighty Mugs from 10X11 years ago, whatever the hell that was. So Hasbro used to do, they still actually do them, but they were these things called Mighty Mugs, and they were, the arms could move, so not just the head and the arms could move and whatever else. So that's kind of why I'm a fan of them, of the pops specifically. I am not a fan of what they are currently pushing and producing between the NFTs and the sodas. First of all, NFT, just get the... I want a physical product. I don't want a digital picture that my buddy Steve could just make me anyway. Like, I don't want to disrespect the artists that do those digital arts, but Jesus.
I'm going to disrespect them.
Well, that's...
But...
You know, so, and the sodas, so years ago, I was in, at the time, in Louisville, Kentucky, in my local comic shop, The Great Escape, and I saw something I had never seen before. I saw a Duff can from The Simpsons that had just a normal 52-card deck in it, but they were all, it was a Simpsons-themed deck. So, you know, think of, like, buying a Transformers Monopoly now. It's got Transformers art all over it, kind of thing. But it was a, you know, one of these kinds of cans. A Funko Pop box, I can see the figure inside. If I want to take it out of the box, I can take it out of the box. If I don't want to, I don't have to, but at least I can still see it. These damn sodas, first of all, they're even more deformed than the pops. Second of all, you can't leave them in the can because you can't actually see the damn figure. And the Funko. I don't want to turn this into a Funko hate podcast. That can be
I
done
do.
On-
Please.
No, not now.
No,
not
no.
Now.
I'm already
that
on.
That can be done on ToyCast. That I will, you and I will have discussions later on that. But okay, so Chris, what was your main goal for Friday?
Well, the one thing I have to point out is the main reason Matt and I attend these cons is we work for a couple of artists we've known for a long time. Jimmy, or Vegas Jeans, we call him, but Jimmy Stark, who does a lot of graphic arts, visual for like DC characters. He does his Venoms are amazing. But we usually help manage
that on something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We kind of messed him up last year. All the commissions that he got, we kept having people do their house pets, and he kind of hates us for that. And like superhero formations. And we worked with mostly with him. And this is who we'll be working with in Rose City Comic Con in the will be H1, H12 booth. The other artists we get to deal with, we had a phenomenal time. We knew him kind of by association, but we got to really get to know him for this con, was Eddie Nunes, who is the lead animator for He-Man Revelation. He actually got a little bit of time off from all the work Netflix has been putting him through to actually make it to the con and show a lot of his work. He has a lot of great Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff. Oh my, awesome, beautiful pieces that he has drawn. That's just incredible. And it was kind of nice because on the tablecloth, you can draw on them. And we were doing doodles between the two of us along the tablecloth of our different characters. I'll be doing my Morton Moose and my other characters, and he was doing like Batman and a few others. So it was a lot of fun doing that. So that was my main goal, is just assisting both of them and making the con easy for them and not overly stressful. So that was my whole purpose. The secondary goal was I like to hit the panels. The panels for the past few years have gotten a little bit weaker. The one panel I really did love was from Amy Chu and Janet Lee. Amy Chu, you might know, she did like, she's Green Hornet, Red Sonja, Poison Ivy, Deadpool. She's now the writer of the new book 3 of the Dota Dragonblood. Okay. She wrote that whole season. Janet Lee's done like Sea Sirens and a few other comics that I've followed. They did a whole panel of treating the character, character development and character creation. And it was really well done. They started very basic, the very level tier one stuff. The place was packed full of a lot of young artists and writers, and they were very inspired one, though. That's why I look back, because I like to see how they're encouraging the next generation of our artists and writers. They did a great panel. And there was one other panel that did that kind of same scenario with a couple of other writers and artists. Wasn't near as good as Amy and Janet's. And I'd love to see more of that, even more panels specifically into the drawing of a character, creation of a character versus a writing of a character and character development. Mm-hmm. But they had a lot of panels there that were more, you know, there was a lot of meetups. There was a lot of feel safe in your skin panels, how to cosplay, who you want to be, more, you know, more. Some of it was like more sexual based, you know, being who you are kind of panels.
LGBTQ.
Yes.
Stuff.
And as I'm not docking the movement or nothing. Just in these Comic Cons, sometimes that's just not what the Comic Con I feel should be pointed at. This is about the people who inspire, who's created, who reads, who supports art, stories, and history of areas in that genre. And then the gaming community, all that, that's fine. But some of these panels just weren't in place, and I was a little disappointed seeing that kind of degradation of panels throughout the years, and it just got a little more skimpier. But I was glad I caught a couple of them this year, and I'm really happy I caught Amy's. I really wish she'd be at Rose City, but she's not going to be there because she's a Boston-based gal, and she'll be hitting New York, so she won't be at the next one. But those are some of my main goals. I also get stickers for my car. As usually, I'll try to pick up a few extra new decals for my car to spiff up on. I picked up a Voltron V. What else did I get? Oh, the zombie response team sticker for my car. I know Matt picked up one because he gets a new vehicle. He got a panda and
rawr.
Yeah, a little panda and something else. So those are my main focus goals. I like doing that kind of stuff. And also note where we sat wasn't the best area, but we were across the aisle from Chris Claremont. And great little story. Here we are Sunday morning. It's fairly quiet. People haven't really rushed into the con yet because Sunday's your big buy day. And so Matt's sitting over with Eddie's booth. And so he gets up there, grabs a Wonder Bar that's from Canada, walks over to Chris Claremont and engaged in conversation by giving him a candy bar to eat. And they just chatted it up there. It was really cool. I actually have a few pictures on my Facebook about that. I thought it was pretty neat.
That's awesome.
It has been my gateway into the comic book world. I am friends with a lot of like professional artists that have worked on like Deadpool and Red Hood and the Outlaws, and they're like big names. And how I became friends with them is that I walked around the con with my backpack filled with Red Bull and jerky and like granola bars, and I fed the artists because they are stuck at their booth they can't ever leave.
Yeah.
And so you feed them and they're like, oh my God, you are a lifesaver. And they see you at another con and you feed them again. And they're like, you know what? We should hang out because you're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's great. So I am looking at the guest page on the Emerald City website, and I will be talking about the Emerald City website later on in this podcast. I am not a fan of the Emerald City website. And there are a lot of names here, a lot I recognize, a lot I don't recognize, and that's all fine, good, well, and great, because you don't always have to have, you know, your Tom Cruises at conventions. You can have, you know, up-and-comers and everything else and all that. But one thing I have noticed scrolling through these photos, because I'm not actually clicking on any of the artists or any of the guests' pages, I'm just on the main guest page. Was this one of the first times that all four animated voices of Turtles was at the same convent?
I think so.
I'm like, wait, there's Barry. There's Cam.
It was a big deal that they got all four of them. I know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, and because I'm going through and I'm like, wait a minute. I see Townsend, and I had scrolled past the R's, and I'm like, going back, there's Rob. And I'm like, Wow. Absolutely amazing. Obviously, they've got plenty of other people here. Oh, how can you not have a comic convention without, obviously, Rob Paulsen there for Turtles, but also he can double as Pinky because the Brain was also there, Maurice LaMarche.
Yep. That was huge panel on Sunday.
It was packed.
The whole floor was cleared out. Like, we left early because there was nobody on the floor because everybody in that con was in that panel room.
Phil LaMarche. Let's see. Who else do I see in here? Rod Rice, who's a great comic artist. I love his stuff.
Felicia Day was there for two days.
Yep. Tom Welling was Rosenbaum wasn't there.
Erica, the Lois.
Erica Durance. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So there were a lot of good, amazing guests that, you know, everybody would have known. Obviously, you know. Yeah. So.
Some other ones that you can point out, like John Timms was there, John Ging, who did The Last Ronin, Transformers, Alex Sinclair, who did Batman Hush. He had a pretty long line for his. I actually walked by him and talked to him for a brief moment.
G. Willow Wilson, she doesn't get out very often, and she was there.
Oh, yeah. Now, with most Comic-Cons, when you have guest lists, you have your A-listers and B-listers. Now, this is the first Comic-Con I've seen where there wasn't a lot of big A-listers.
Oh, God, there was like none.
None. And now, our biggest
actor... Or they canceled.
Our biggest actors was like Brendan Fraser showed up, Freddie Prinze Jr., the Ninth Doctor, Elskin or whatever.
Yeah.
Just the attendant backed out, so they picked up another doctor. Cassandra Peterson, who I grew up knowing as Elvira, she was there, and I guess her panel was really fun.
Everybody talked very highly of her. She was
I had to double, like, as I'm scrolling down this guest page, I'm like, I see the name and the picture they chose to put of her on the website. She's got red hair. I'm like, wait a minute, is that? And then I'm like, yep, it says Elvira. And I know, obviously, the Elvira thing is just a persona and things like that. But normally when people associate her name, and I'm saying people in general here, folks, I'm not pointing at anyone, but like most kids aren't going to know who the woman is that's behind Elvira. They know the character of Elvira.
If you're doing parenting right.
Okay, know. Well, yes. But I'm saying, in general, as a child of the 80s, I did not know the person behind the persona kind of thing. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, I mean,
it was also announced like a week before ECC that she was going to be there. Like, that was a surprise guest. And which annoyed a lot of people because she has a huge cult following.
Well, yeah, of course. If it was only announced a week before the thing, like, you should have announced, like, you want to sell all the tickets you can, especially at the prices and we'll get into that later too. Look, I don't want to sit here and put on a negative podcast, folks, but there are just certain things about ECCC that just I'm kind of glad I'm in the middle of nowhere, Indiana right now. Anyway, but, you know, you say A-listers, and I just listed off all those people who are A-listers in my mind.
But, well, you are a comic book person.
True.
And these are comic cons.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they are no longer comic cons. They're pop culture cons.
Yeah.
And so they want Hollywood in there. They want Tom Cruise. They want all these big name actors to show up. And for us, like, Chris Claremont?
Yeah, sign really. Me up.
Jim Lee? Hell yeah.
Oh, Easton. Oh, please bring him back.
Kevin Eastman, like, we tried to get him to come to ECC because of the four voice actors. Mm-hmm. Eddie Nunez is good friends with him. And we're like, we talked to him at SummerCon and told him about you and everything like that. Like, please call him and tell him to come so we can go like do dinner. Like, this would be awesome. The four turtle voices and Kevin Eastman, mm-hmm. that'd be epic. And it didn't happen, but like, those are the type of names that get me excited. I could care less that Brendan Fraser was there.
Oh yeah. No.
Freddie Prinze Jr. No, thank you. Did you bring your wife? No, don't care.
Wait, which wife is he on now? I don't even
know. Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're still married? I thought they were. Okay, well, anyway. For me, you know, comic-wise, you're right. Any of the comic names that are out there, even, you know, people like Phil LaMarr. Phil LaMarr is a self-professed, and rightfully so, comic book fan. Every interview you ever hear Phil LaMarr on, he will say he has been reading comics since he was a kid.
He's a fantastic Green Lantern voice. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really interested, even though it's not him, I'm really interested to see what they do with Beware My Power.
Yes.
The new animated film that's either out or coming out. I don't remember if it's out.
Coming out.
Yet.
It's coming out.
Okay, good. But for me, I'm looking down here and I'm just like, oh, okay. I actually have one of his books, Livio Remondelli. Actually, I have a lot of his books, but I actually have one of his personal art books that he was selling via socials and whatever and his website and whatever else. His journey through IDW's Transformers comics and its various covers and backgrounds and whatever else. And, you know, he signed it and I have it. It's sitting over there on top of my turtle van. And yes, I do have a turtle van in my apartment, folks. No, it's not the real one, sadly.
Because that was at SummerCon. I got some pictures. I'll send them.
There you go. So that's Friday. What did you guys? What were each of your goals for Saturday? Chris, we'll start with you this time.
Saturday, since it becomes more of the focus into ourselves on the booth, that was my main focus. I caught one of the secondary panel on Saturday, which was the other character creation I wasn't super impressed with. And I saw another voice acting one they had, you know, getting into voice acting, which was pretty good. Then Jim Cummings had something. He was just there Saturday, I think. I don't think he was there any other days. And he had a quick panel about introduction into art and into the studio arts. He had a couple other people up there. I didn't get to see much of that con because I had to get back to the booth because, I mean, I'm supposed to be supporting our artists here so they can get away from the booth once in a while. So that's been was my main focus, is just maintaining the booth at that time for Saturday.
What about you, Matt?
Pretty much the same thing. I do a little bit more gophering. You know, if the artist need me to go get something, like, hey, is your Copic marker, like, dying? Do I need to go downstairs and find you a new black or a gray? Going, like, across the street and getting food and drinks so that we stay hydrated, because that is actually a huge pitfall for most congoers. You don't realize that you're there from 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night, and you've realized that you haven't eaten or really drank anything.
Yeah.
So I just want to keep everybody's blood sugar up so that we don't start fighting behind the booth, getting frustrated with not being able to find prints because we start shuffling things around. So I also stay at the booth and sell, but where Chris stays at the booth and sells the entire time, I will leave and go get things for people.
So, and this is obviously probably a more pertinent question to the people organizing this event. If, and I don't know what, I assume, and again, you should never assume, folks, but I assume that these people that come to these conventions, and I'm not talking about the attendees, I'm talking about the guests, and like, they're not paying to be there, right? They are paid to be there, correct?
Celebrities, yes, you have to pay them a mm-hmm. base fee. They have a number in their head and they get paid that.
Right.
Then the con makes money off of their signatures. So all those tickets that you buy to get Tom Welling's signature,
right,
those are to pay the con back for the fee that they have already paid. So okay, if they sell more tickets, they can make a profit off of Tom Welling.
Right.
If they sell enough tickets.
Okay. Because it seems
comic artists like or writers like Chris Claremont, mm-hmm. Maybe Chris Claremont gets paid to be there, but
We don't
know. No, he doesn't, because he wasn't selling tickets. He, at his booth, was if you wanted a CGC signature, you paid his agent $20 because you were getting them graded. He was doing free signatures on stuff if you weren't getting them graded. So okay. I think it was just the celebs that...
Okay. So my point in asking that at all is because... As a convention person that runs the thing,
yeah.
You should be supplying water to your to the people that are helping you put on your convention. Like, I'm not saying that it's I'm not saying Matt, oh my God, don't ever do. No, it's great what you're doing. I'm wondering why the convention itself doesn't do that for the panelists, for the guests. For the booth people, you know what I mean? Like,
because it costs money.
I understand yep. that, but
and that, like, most of these celebs, mm-hmm. they have their own entourage or they have their own manager, and so that manager should go get Tom yeah. Welling a water or, you know, whatever. I'm just using Tom Welling. I'm sure Tom Welling's a great person. I'm not trying to make him out to yep. be some oh. yep. needy person. I'm just using him as an example. But they come with entourages and stuff like that to go do that.
Yeah.
Short story, I did work, I volunteered, one of my buddies put on a con in Spokane. I volunteered to help with that, and that's basically what I did, was run around and hand out water bottles and stuff, because I talked to the artists, and I was like, what do you miss about cons, you know, 10 years ago? And they were like, we used to be important. Like, we used to get at least a bagel and cream cheese. Now we get nothing. We just show up, have a ball and chain wrapped around our leg at the booth, and we sit there for, like, 12 hours. And so I tried to alleviate that by bringing yeah. them water, bringing them food, trying to make them feel like they were as important as Stan Lee and other celebrities that we
William
had.
William Shatner.
William Shatner. And tried to make them feel just as important. But big cons like that, they've lost it. They don't care what the con was originally supposed to be about, which was comics and creating and art.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just the way, sadly, that it has changed. But just because it has changed doesn't mean you don't take care of everyone that is a guest at your convention or everyone that... 'Cause what's the name of the... booth that you guys were helping out with, Chris?
James Stark Arts, and then Eddie Nunez Art, I believe, is both okay. there.
Okay. So, if they are, you know, having to pay for these tables at these cons, then something in that contract or something in that purchase should mean that the person or persons putting on the convention should... have people bringing them at least water to hydrate them, because the last thing anyone needs is anyone, you know,
yeah.
being dehydrated and passing out in the middle of a convention.
100% agree.
That's ridiculous that does, like, no. No. So, all right. And then Sunday, what was going on Sunday? Were you guys just cleaning up the booth and packing it all in, or were you guys doing
covering booths for hangovers?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So our two resident artists, they're going to love us telling the story. So Saturday night, one of the few times that Matt and I decided we wanted to check out the after-hour stuff. Because okay. your con's technically in at 7, but there's a lot of things going on.
There's lots of parties and continuing tournaments, gaming tournaments, things like that go on past till 12 o'clock at night.
Yep. So we went over to the Sheridan. We checked out the board game area. There was an arcade up there. So we're checking out some free board games, the arcade. We checked out a few other rooms that were doing some events there. And, of course, on that floor, there was the one of the big after-hour parties.
Stranger danger.
So we get up there, we're walking there, there's a lot of people, lots of people on cosplay. The place is partially pretty full. We notice when you walk in there, there is a alcohol vendor on the outside. As soon as we get in there, it's just like stepping back into junior high. It's a rave going on. Music, the lights, people are all crowded at the stage. There's two alcohol vendors in there selling alcohol. But what's also in there is a lot of underage cosplayers. A lot. Now, ECC, I have to admit, this was just screaming of something happening. I mean, immediately, Matt and I did the whole Looney Tunes rotation door scenario. We walked in, saw it, or immediately walked out the next door. We're just like looped out, like, nope, we're not touching this with a 1,000-foot pole.
I am not being photographed and put on the evening news as to stranger danger attacks at the local comic book convention. Because me and Chris have way too big of beards to not be front and center of that photograph. I've got candy, get in my van.
That was a little shaky. Yeah, we were a little shocked about that. Not the finest moment. Now, while we're doing all this, exploring the other bits of con and everything, R2 resident artist, we're meeting up with some other artists, talk about some opportunities out there, or kind of swap war stories. They did this at a bar. Now, understanding R2 artist, one's married, doesn't really get out as much. The other one is a little bit younger, also doesn't get out as much. They proceeded to get themselves hammered.
Oh, no.
And we're talking so hammered that nothing gets discussed. Fights nearly break out. They almost get in some serious trouble, and they don't end their party until 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
Notice we're supposed to be back at the con at 9 a.m. bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Mm-hmm. Matt and I show up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. One of our two artists returns, not doing too bad. He actually moderated himself.
But he's young enough that he can bounce back from a hangover. So yeah. He's pretty good.
The other one did not. Not nearly. He stumbled in around, what, 1?
Mm-hmm.
1:30 or so? Buddy, I hope you had a great time, but man, you're a little bit older. You can't do that no more.
Nope. You just can't.
But the after-hour party is just fun. They have the judging of the cosplay. I do want to touch base. The cosplay in this one was still one thing about Comic Cons that you're going to love is just looking at the cosplay.
People watching.
People watching. And it's one of the reasons I love working in the booth. Working in the booth, I get to watch all the cosplayers walk through the con. The R2 units weren't really big in this one, which I'm really surprised I didn't see more. Usually it's
the multi-level.
Which kind of ruins that, because I love the R2-D2, the whole robotics division. We have all these R2 units running around. It's always fun. Not much in this one, but there was still a lot of fandom. There was a lot of Eddie from Stranger Things. That became a big cosplay.
I'll be the
just
first
cancel, one. Just cancel Halloween. Cancel it. It's going to be a bunch of Eddies walking around. That this is the peak precursor. We know what every costume is going to be coming up to the door. Cancel it.
I'm not a Stranger Things person. I'm just not. Not that I dislike it. I'm ambivalent to it. I don't really have any whatever. So, you know, I know nothing of this other than what I've seen of people showing off a Funko Pop of the character. Do parents actually allow their children to watch this show? Because I assume this show is mainly for geeks.
They probably shouldn't let their kids.
Okay, good. That's fine.
Horror. So if you let them watch horror films, you're going to let them watch Stranger Things. It's not like there's gratuitous nudity or really hardcore violence. I mean, there's slime and stuff like that. I guess blood spray, but it's not like, hey, that kid's arms just got ripped off like a fly. So, you know.
It's not like my mother in 1986 when she was like, oh, Nightmare on Elm Street, whichever part it was.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, you're watching this. And,
Never sleep again? Okay, cool.
I know this is... when did 94 between 86 and 94 I will never have long nails again. Number one, Freddy Krueger. Number two, Nuclear Man and Superman 4. Again. Not that I wanted to have long nails in the first place, but slightly rational fear of. I've never been in, so I'm just like, the reason why I asked that is because our parents actually going to allow their children to dress up as a character from a show that they won't even let them, at least hopefully, they won't even let them watch the show in the first place.
He's gotten the memes. That's what's really pushing the whole Eddie character, the heavy metal 80s thing. There was a meme about one guy protesting us dressing up as that meme. Like, it's not a costume, it's a lifestyle. Kind of a whole joke about it.
I just rolled my eyes so hard it was audible across the street.
Yeah.
I saw your mic light up. I didn't hear anything, so I assume that was the noise of your eyes rolling.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
But there's a lot of other cosplay. You know, there's some great pieces that were wonderful. Lots of anime. Big anime.
Yeah, there was a lot more anime at ECC this year than I can remember at any other one. Yeah. It felt more like an anime con cosplay than like nerddom.
Yeah. Now, a lot of Mummy. Mummy came back only because Brendan Fraser being there. I saw a lot of good Mummy cosplay. And I saw some other pieces. Now, there's a couple that I like watching come up, you know, the really odd fandom. Like, for me, I love Hazbin Hotel and Hell of a Boss and what VizPop has created. And there's fandom out there at these the Comic-Cons for cosplaying for those characters, which I always love seeing. So that was kind of cool catching those when they walked by my table.
Very cool, very cool.
One of the drawbacks of ECC is that it's on multiple levels. Most of the cosplayers stay on level 4 where all the booths are. Artist Alley is up on the 6th floor.
Oh, so
if you have a difficult costume to maneuver in, like the multi-part costumes, or you have like a huge ball gown and you're doing Beauty and the Beast and your ball gown is just too big to go up the escalator, we don't get to see those. And that's really disappointing we get to partake in at Rose City because it's a one floor con. So we get to see the droids roll by. We get to see these ridiculously huge, awesome costumes that obviously took a really long time to put together. And you just don't get that at ECC unless you go to the floor that everybody's kind of hanging out on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, conventions, if you have a convention center or you have a this or a that or whatever, it needs to, like, it can be as spread out as it wants to be, but it needs to be, I don't know how old you are, Matt, but
accessibility is very important.
I'm 39.
Oh, okay, good. Then you should be old enough to get this reference. Basically, instead of building Wayside School all the way into the sky with 30 floors up,
yeah,
like it wasn't supposed to be, it should be 30 classrooms all on one floor. Same thing with conventions. It can be as spread out as it wants to be. It can be as big as a convention. It could be, you know, Samsung City or Apple Park or whatever, as long as it's on one floor. Or you have really cool transitions like Apple does in their videos. Anyway. All right. Where do we want to go next, guys?
Well, you want to start pushing to the wrap up. The one thing you want to touch bases is the horrible website that most Comic Cons, I'm not just saying ECC, but most Comic Cons suffer from late updates. I know they tried to do a lot of media push on Facebook. Honestly, the true solution is getting a figurehead, getting a person to be the representative of that con to be seen. Hey, here's a daily update of what we're doing and making sure these little things are kept up on and there's good community.
Houston, we have a problem.
Canceled. What happened? I didn't know.
Yeah. So the Emerald City Comic Con website, you go to it, emeraldcitycomiccon.com, all one word. And it brings you into the main page, and it shows you some, I don't know if it's a, I don't know what the name of the halls are over there, but I'm just going to say a Hall H type looking venue. And it says ECCC 2023 tickets on sale now. There is nothing on this main page of the website showing you where to go to see anything based on the current year's event that just happened August 18th to the 21st of 2022. And what I told Chris off air before we started this was this buy tickets thing should be one thing, one scroll down, and the recap for the current convention that just ended should be the first thing you see.
Yes.
Now, in comparison, and I know how long has ECCC been around? More than 20 years?
Yeah.
Then they should know better, okay? And I know technically they're not a part of Comic-Con International like San Diego, okay? But you go to Comic-Con's website and there is all contact, forums, career, there's all I can click on San Diego Comic-Con's badge and I can look at various things from the current year convention that happened this year. Why doesn't Emerald City do that? Why don't they on their main page? Come on. Everything is about March 2 to the 5th of next year.
It's not. They're in massive. They need to. You're right. The links need to be changed because all the guest list on there right now is all this year. It was all 2022. Yeah. But yet they're indicating up top that it's the 23 buy tickets. And they need to distinguish. There's no guest list yet. They haven't started on 2023 yet. It's one slate.
And it's not even did the website, was it different than what I'm currently seeing before the convention?
Garbage. It's okay. Not garbage.
Garbage. It's still okay. Clickable. And this is not the ECC's problem. This is, go right back to it, Repop. Repop owns ECCC.
Okay.
Repop, for now. They also own New York Comic Con.
C2E2.
The worst of Comic Cons we found this year was C2E2 in Chicago.
Was a money grab.
By the way, MCM Comic Con, they own that one, which that's the one that's in the controversy right now, right, Matt?
Yeah, I just got a post from one of my friends that said CBCS lost all the comic books that they took from that con. They have been misplaced.
Great.
All the signed comics that are supposed to be getting graded, people's, retirement funds or wannabe retirement funds are missing.
Well, that's not good.
But it's okay. They're looking into it.
Of course they are. A massive investigation, Mar-a-Lago style.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Don't want to go that route. don't bite into the orange, folks. Just
stuff no.
Anyway.
So Repop also runs all the PAC events, PAC Australia, PAC East, PAC Unplug, PAC West. So they have a big and they also do Rose City, right?
Yes.
So they have a big chunk of the Comic-Cons up here in the Northwest, except for SummerCon, which is in Washington State in Tacoma, which, by the way, second-year con was phenomenal.
It's not a second-year con. That was our second year there. I heard that they had other ones precursor, that it was probably kind of like how Rose was, where it was in a Doubletree Inn, and we just didn't hear about it until two years ago.
It was the second one at the fairgrounds.
Yes.
So, but very good. It's an upcoming con. Very good. But this does come back to Repop. Repop is the company that should be organizing these events in much greater detail. I think one of the biggest failures is the fact they don't have a figurehead to help lead, someone charismatic to lead the interest in these cons. And it's just such a small little task to do to put someone in that role to help lead. This is what we're doing for this con. This is what, I'm representing. I'm doing this con here. Come to here, see these people. This is who we're trying to get. This is who we got. Unfortunately, this person we don't have anymore. But, we're going to pull, we lost David Tennant, but we're going to pull the other doctor in.
We get more information off of their Facebook page than their own website that they make.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Which is ridiculous.
Oh, jeez.
So webmasters fail, or we're hitting almost all the Comic Cons with that. Fail on that part. Really, you have the avenue. Facebook is just a tool. Don't make it your key information guide.
Yeah.
It's a tool. That's all it needs to be used for. Keep the main guide. You need to have live updates. Have someone come on there. Do weekly shows if you want. 10-minute shows.
Go live.
Yeah. They need more of that to help keep the interest going. This is a big thing. I know at this pre-COVID scenario, there's still a lot of changes, a lot of feelings on what, you know, should they actually have news articles saying, why should we have Comic-Cons anymore? They're just blah, blah, blah. Guys, COVID's nothing to us. COVID is a joke because we've been dealing with con funk for so long. We know how to get around it.
Yeah. You bring a bucket of hand sanitizer and just bathe in it.
That should be the next thing at the Emerald City Comic Con 2023. Just have a dunk booth. Yeah, a dunk booth.
Filled with hand sanitizer instead of water.
Yep. Or any kind of soap. It doesn't matter as long as it, you know, is 99%. You know, whatever. You know, it's like 99% kills antibacterial and germs. Like, you know, whatever it says on those things. So I have never really been a con goer. Number one, the reason why is because I don't do well in crowded places before 2019 and even now. My whole life, I need space. I just can't deal with crowds. And then obviously, you know, with me being disabled and having cerebral palsy and brain damage and all that, I rely on supplemental security income to, you know, whatever. But like, so I've never actually had the money to go to a con. A few times my mom was like, oh, we should go, or oh, this, or oh. We never. The last convention I remember actively, technically not the last. I was BotCon 2016 adjacent because I went to the Stan Bush and Vince DiCola show at BotCon 2016, but that wasn't anywhere near the convention center. It was down at 4th Street Live in Louisville. So technically it wasn't anywhere near, well, because 4th Street Live is the entertainment district for Louisville, for music and for this and for that and for everything else. So, but before that, I think the last convention I had been at was the Boston Budweiser Expo in 1986 when I got a picture with David Hasselhoff when I was 6 years old.
Ooh, like, girl.
You mean boy. But yeah. but seriously, it's just one of those things where I sat here, was it 2011 or 2012? No, it was probably San Diego 2012. I sat here on Skype with Radio Free Cybertron, a Transformers podcast that's been around before podcasting in 1999, and we were going to do a six-hour live stream, audio live stream, of just reacting to everything that was announced in 2012 at San Diego Comic-Con. I was the only person out of, I think, the four or five of us that sat there for all 6 hours, because I can sit here for hours on end talking to people through my microphone, on a podcast, over my computer, versus doing anything with anybody in person.
Well, I mean, you have lasted an hour so far and haven't hung up on me and Chris, so my hat's off to you.
Well, you know, you and I haven't had a private discussion on Funko yet, so that's that's me on the positive side, you on the negative side. We'll discuss that on a different show on a different day. You know, so for me, I feel like I'm Casey Jones. He's claustrophobic. I'm what? What'd you say? So it's that, and it's cost for me. So speaking of cost,
You might have actually enjoyed this one. I don't know. I know you're a Transformers guy.
Yep.
Do you follow the comic books?
Yeah.
Comic book artists there that did Transformers that you probably would have been.
Yeah, I mentioned Livio Remondelli earlier. Yeah. We have over on the pull bag, which has been, oh God, that show's almost 10 years old. It'll be 10 years old next March. We have covered of the phase two books of IDW, which basically starts with the death of Optimus Prime, goes into More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, which then turned into Lost Light and Optimus Prime. We have covered all of phase two. So in the last 10 years, we have covered, I want to say, a good 40 to 50% of IDW's Transformers stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, these prices, man, I guess it's not bad. So the 4-day ticket is $130. That's not bad for if you're just one person, but if you're a whole family, or if you're at least, you know, husband and wife or best friends mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously each person is going to pay for their own price of their own ticket, but let's just say, for example, let's say this is a convention where it's a family thing, and, you know, you could take the kids to go see SpongeBob or something. Family of four at $130 each. That's for 4 days, it's not bad, but for four people is a little crazy. The day tickets aren't so bad. Thursday is $30, Friday is $50, Saturday is $60, and Sunday is $50. So that's not that bad. If it, like, for me, if they're like, it, let's just say in some weird world, and I'm not saying who, no one knows because they haven't announced who's going to be at 2023 yet, but let's just say, and I know this will never happen, but let's just say all four Turtles are going to be there on the Saturday, and somebody else I may want to see less is going to be there on a Sunday. I'll buy the Saturday ticket, and that's fine for me. But for other people like you guys or like anyone else that may want to go to
more than
just one day, I think a 4-day ticket at $130 for one person isn't bad.
No, and yes. before me helping out artists and stuff like that, I mm-hmm. paid those prices.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no different for people in California to go to, like, Disneyland and stuff and just walk around, like, if you don't do the rides and stuff. I mean, yeah. It's entertaining, especially if you do all the things, like the after parties and all that stuff. Your ticket gets you into all of those events.
Mm-hmm. And even though it's, again, if it's, you know, because we're all geeks and whatever else, but if we wanted the, I wish there was a 4-day celebrity VIP ticket, but that is what it is, because that would be a whole hell of a lot of money. But the celebrity VIP ticket is the most expensive at $315.
It's a fast pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
For like people like yourself that don't do crowds and don't like people claustrophobia, that's, I mean, you're gonna pay for it, but
oh yeah,
you can avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, not saying not to, again, you know, everybody, whether they're putting on the con or whether they're attending the con, for us that go to the things, that buy the tickets, pay the money, you know,
and some of the experience. Like C2E2 just had a really bad experience. I'm sure you've seen the headlines with the quadruple staples, but those guys were using their VIP fast passes to get to the front of those lines to buy 100 issues of that of that book.
Oh, so that's ridiculous.
They are paying for their VIP by being able to cut in front of everybody that's waiting in line to get those exclusives, turn around and sell those on eBay to pay for their VIP ticket.
That's disgusting.
Yep. One of my really good friends has paid for their con tickets by winning the raffle ticket for the Funko Pop booth when it was at ECC, and they would go to that Funko Pop booth, buy a couple of limited edition Funko Pops for box price, and turn around and sell them on eBay, and that covered their ticket, and then they were able to enjoy the rest of the con, and, you know, all they had to do was wait in line for maybe an hour to get two Funkos.
I mean, you know, that kind of thing happens all the time. It isn't like that's been going on longer than Funko has been doing pops.
Oh, for sure. And, exclusives, you know, in general.
Like, yeah, but I mean, there's a huge difference. So my buddy Michael Wilson, Pecan Court Michael on Twitter, Pecan CT Michael, all one word. He used to, when he would go to BotCon and he would go with his wife and his children, or when he would just go with his wife before they had kids, he obviously would get the Primus package and she would get the Primus package, which means they could essentially pay for their trip by selling one of the full-on
packages,
all the exclusives, whatever. Yeah. but he did that after he got home from, like, say, he lives in Illinois somewhere. He's in Northwest Indiana. Anyway, let's just say, you know, he's in Northwest Indiana. Let's just say BotCon's in L.A. or Vegas, or I don't think it's ever been in Vegas, but let's just say it's somewhere that he has to fly somewhere, or they have to fly somewhere. You know, one of those BotCon full exclusive packages can net you, like, you know, people are talking about the HasLab Unicron now, where it was $600 to fund the thing to get it for just one person, whereas now the aftermarket on that thing, $1,500, $2,000 plus.
Yep.
For just one, I mean, obviously that's one giant toy, but my point in saying this is he would wait to recoup his costs after he got home. Like, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be like you're saying with, you know, buying up all of these things. It's like somebody running into Target, getting several different ones of the same Target exclusive Funko Pop and going home and selling them online immediately. Like, no, don't do that. Anyway, scalping is bad, folks.
Well, you're talking about, you know, dealing with crowds. Touch base here a little bit. We know one of the biggest cons in the United States is San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Back in 2015 was one of the peak years, near 170,000 people. Last year, this past year, or this in 2020, it was just over 135,000 for attendance. Now, Emerald City comes up there near as the second. So in 2019, there were about 98,000 when I researched it. There were near 100,000 break. Of course, in 20, they were canceled. And they came back in 21 with a limited release, which was like 48,000 tickets. So it was ballpark 50,000 people there. This year, they're expected the attendance was only around 70,000. It's still a big shy away from the pre-pandemic levels. But for some reason, it just seemed so much busier last year than it did this year. Either it was spread out more, or they stayed on other floors that we didn't see them on the sixth floor.
Yeah.
But and then again, that's just, you know, ticket sales and estimate. There is no actual number saying this number of people walked into the con.
Yeah.
You don't scan tickets or anything like that.
Now, do you think Emerald City has always been spread out over six floors?
Well, no, every year it grew. It was on the main building, the Washington State Con, and then Washington Con building, the TCC building, which is the another con building next to it. And then it was 2015, the Sheridan Hotel started picking up like the magic tournaments on the lower levels.
Okay.
And by 2018, they were in those three buildings, and there was the another hotel outside that did a lot of the registration input. So you went to one building to get your tickets or pre-check, and then you went to the con.
Okay. Because I'm thinking, like I've already said, having it on six floors might have...
It would be hell for you because it's also you can't just get on one elevator on the first floor and go to whatever floor you want. You have to go in this elevator, go up to the third floor. Then you have to go over to the other side of that building to get in the next elevator to go up two floors.
It's a mess.
And then,
That's my point in saying this is maybe they need to think of changing up. And you said something about changing the venue, Chris.
They are. So they're building
a new one.
It's a new one. It's going to be done by March. It's one it's two buildings. It's really nice because the road goes underneath it. The second building is actually a parking garage built in the convention, which this one really doesn't have. Which is really nice. They're expanding the parking for it. And they actually have truck center ramps to go up to the second and third level to the main show floors where they can bring in heavy equipment and easily unload it into the floor. So there's a lot of potential in this, I think it's six stories, building. The first floor is really just retail shops. It's mainly what it's designed for. So there's a lot of permanent restaurants. That was the other thing this year, the subway. There was a subway on the outside of ECC and one on the inside. This year, they were closed. which was really weird. That's usually a big money maker, but both of them were closed.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. So, new building. We'll see how the new layout goes. We're definitely interested in going back to check it out. But right now, like, our focus here in a couple of weeks is going to be Rose City Comic Con. And then that will where Matt and I will end our Comic Con run for the year. Our artists will continue. They're going to be hitting Las Vegas Summer Con, which...
Amazing Las Vegas, I believe, is what it's called. Yep. And then he's going to try to do New York. Last year in New York, I don't know if you saw any of the videos or any of the stories. It was a ghost town. A lot of people didn't show up. A lot of artists didn't show up. So even though all their artist alleys are completely sold out, he's going to show up and hopefully be able to snag a table because people randomly don't show up for cons, even though they've paid for tables.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I said this last year, I'll say it this year. I mean, we're still in the age of COVID. It hasn't gone away completely. And it's just one of those things where, I don't know, I just, even with my claustrophobia and my other, you know, physical disabilities, I just don't know if I would want to be going to a convention, any convention. It doesn't, like, it could be, you know, a hole in the wall on the beach. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Like, I just don't think I would want to do that. Like, just me personally, and, you know, this is, you know, whatever, but... I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that people are enjoying it. I'm glad that, you know, you guys are going and you guys are helping out with the people that you're helping out with and everything else. On a scale of 0 to 5, what would you rate this year's ECCC?
Ooh. 2?
Yeah. I'd have to say the coordination from the staff on our booth positions on how things were at and just the overall enthusiasm. 2, 2, 2.5, going to 3, but definitely not one of our better cons.
This is probably one of the worst ECCs that I've ever been a part of.
Oh, damn. That sucks.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It really seemed like the guest list was invited by someone of, like, the early 90s of a certain gender and single.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Before I let you guys go, before we close this out, tell us all about Rose City that's coming up. When is it and where is it and... all that stuff.
Rose City will be coming up September 9th through the 11th in the Oregon Convention Center in downtown Portland. You're going to be seeing a lot of good people coming through this year for Rose City. Anthony Rapp from Discovery. Billy D. Williams is showing.
And we're all excited about that.
Frodo, yeah, Elijah Wood is showing up. The, trying to think of the top of my head, LeVar Burton. Which, this is one of the things in the last couple of years, we have not seen a lot of Star Trek folks show up these cons. Like Will Wheaton and all that used to be big names for all the Comic Cons. That has scaled back a little bit. So this is nice seeing LeVar Burton actually make the attempt to come back out here and mix in with the people. Rainn Wilson from The Office is pretty popular. Sean Austin, Frodo's little best friend. I'm asking if it ever got to him that Jamie Farr and Loretta Swift from MASH, they've been hitting all the East Coast Comic Cons. Come out to the West Coast, please, because MASH is my favorite show, and I'd love to see you at one of these.
As far as comic book guests go, the biggest name that I am excited for is Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis will be there. He is actually doing a panel. I am not a writer at all. I am dyslexic. I hate writing. I hate English in general. It's been one of the most fascinating panels that I could care less about, but was super involved in. Like, I listened to every word that he spoke. So if you do go to Rose City, I highly, highly, highly recommend going to Bendis's panel on whatever topic he wants to fucking talk about.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Anything else either one of you want to say before I run through the closing?
Nope, that's it. We're hoping if you can support the Comic-Con, support your local comic artist. It's very important that you help them create the work that we can enjoy many, many years from now.
Don't buy Funko.
Oh.
And canceled.
I don't know about buying Funko stock, but yeah, I don't know. You said your piece. We will talk later. all right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Geekcast Radio. Coming up next, I believe later on in September, my buddy Terry Smith from Music Talks Podcast is going to drop back by, and we are going to be talking about Blackstone Cherries live from the Royal Albert Hall, y'all, concert that they put on. So they released that on DVD, digital, all that stuff. So concert DVD. So we're going to talk about that next time here on Geekcast Radio. After that, I have no clue what the heck's going on with this show. It's usually reserved for our big stuff, like I said in episode 300 last time. Matt, where can people find you online if they so choose to do so, sir?
Oh, to send me the hate mail from Funko?
No.
just Facebook. I don't really have much of an online presence currently, so I pretty much just do Facebook.
Okay, what about you, Chris?
Of course, you'll always find me at indeedpodcast.com. You see our show from there, past shows that we've done, or email indeedpodcast@gmail.com.
All right. I'm, of course, at TFGO and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter for all the other network updates. I am on Facebook. My link tree is most likely going to be in the episode post because I just signed up for. I'm like, ooh, I can have all my links in one place. I don't have to worry about any. Like, I don't have to make sure this link's there. Make sure that. Anyway, so unleash the geek in you, and we will catch you next time here on Geekcast Radio.
Yay!